It is a very good afternoon. It is Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. Now, something that we need to talk about, by the way. Well, look, there's a lot to talk about when it comes to Donald Trump, to be honest with you. And by the way, can I just say the priest was fairly obvious. All you got to do is look at her and know she's an activist of some description, by the way. I thought it was extremely rude, contrary to what the mainstream media, including RTE, Sky and everybody else are saying. I thought it was extremely rude of her in the middle of a ceremony to have a go at the President of the United States, saying he's putting fear into immigrants, talking about her, you know, putting fear into the people of LGBT community and all this kind of stuff. By the way, Donald Trump has done nothing to gay people. You know, the LGBT people are quite happy, actually. I think a lot of them voted for Donald Trump. His only issue is with gender. This woman clearly has an axe to grind, and that shouldn't have been allowed to happen. And she should be ashamed of herself, by the way. And Donald Trump was right. She was a nasty little woman. And she's meant to be a bishop, isn't she? Anyway, look, Donald Trump is on the way to what he says will be the biggest deportation America has ever seen of illegal immigrants. Contrary to what RTE said again, because it said in RTE the other day that Donald Trump will set off to deport immigrants. Not immigrants, there's a difference in immigrants and illegal immigrants. I'm reading a piece here, by the way, I think it was in the Washington Times or something, right? And it says, they're spared the glances, the go back to your country slurs facing so many undocumented migrants in the US, but they still live in fear. They don't call the police when there's a break-in. They think twice before they bring a sick child to an emergency room. Only they're white and they're Irish. An estimated 50,000 undocumented Irish immigrants live in the United States. Let's say, be clear about this, by the way, undocumented is a fancy word for illegal. They make up a small percentage of the over 11 million illegal immigrants living here, the majority of whom were born in Mexico. It is easier being illegal when you're white. Shauna, an undocumented Irish immigrant, tells CNN, it's not easy, of course. You have the paranoia, but there isn't the racial element. It's a bit easier to stay under the radar. But there's a growing sense of fear in the community since the election of Donald Trump. Ciarán Staunton, a veteran of the Irish lobby for immigration reform in the US, says most of the undocumented Irish are from rural parts of Ireland where unemployment was difficult to come by. So they went to America illegally. The vast majority of undocumented Irish here, he said, are from parts of Ireland where there was no jobs. And most undocumented here are doing jobs in America that Americans don't want to do. Fiona McEntee, a renowned immigration attorney from Chicago and from Dublin, who has been practicing for over a decade, said the Irish people living illegally in the US would be a priority for deportation under the second Donald Trump term. Now remember, of course, there's approximately 11 million illegals in America, but the Irish are part of that. They estimate, look, I've seen estimates of 15,000 and 50,000. Who knows? So should they be deported? Now, I've been talking to people today, and I get people saying things to me, well, you know, that's different. They're part of the community. You know, if they're working, sure, you know, you might as well let them stay, you know, and I get you. So let me know what you think. Should the, let's say the figure is 50,000. Should the 50,000 Irish people who are illegally in America be rounded up by ICE and sent home? Many of them have been there 20 and 30 years, by the way. Should they be rounded up and sent home? Let me know what you think. John, hi, how are you doing? By the way, the number is 085-122-55. John, hi.
Hey, how are you doing? Look, I probably won't be too popular for saying this, but I don't think I'll be the only one today saying it. I have relations over there that ducked and dived as well.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you can't have one rule for Paddy the Mexican and another rule for Paddy the Irishman. It sounds like one of them jokes before, Paddy the Irishman, the Englishman and the Scotsman, right? So the whole thing, it doesn't matter if there's 11 million illegals and there's only 50,000 Irish. If you're illegal, you're illegal, as simple as that. And if you're one of those people, rightly so, who I supported, were on the barricades right around the country here to stop undocumented people coming in here with no permission or not no identification, right? If you're one of those people, or one of those people who went on the marches, and if you have a family member over there that's illegal in America, you're a hypocrite.
Well, I'm hearing a lot of that, and I'm seeing a lot of that. Actually, I heard Sarah McInerney giving out about Donald Trump getting rid of the signed an executive order that anybody born in the United States doesn't automatically make them a citizen. And she was giving out about that, and then somebody reminded her, we've had that in Ireland since 2003. What's the big deal?
There was a guy last year, I think, engaging with Sarah McInerney on prime time there, and he was Republican, like, but that came up about this whole thing.
We've had it here. She was making a big deal of it. Yeah. We've had that in Ireland. And we actually voted for it in a referendum in 2003.
He was knocking her card, and he said that. He says, have you got it in your country? She says, no. And he says, well, why should you impose it on us? So why should we have it if you haven't got it in your country?
Yeah.
But no, well,
it used to be called the anchor baby rule, by the way. It was called the anchor baby rule. We got rid of it in 2003. Michael McDougall was the man who brought forward the referendum. And as far as referendums go around, it was the biggest referendum in Irish history, with a landslide of something like 87% of the Irish population voted against allowing people. Because what was happening at the time in 2003 were people were coming to Ireland from the continent of Africa and getting pregnant on purpose just to have a baby here. So when they have a baby here, they could stay as guardians, you know.
Yeah, it was gone. At one stage, it was so bad. Like, I mean, they were nearly considering setting up a maternity unit
at Dublin Airport. That's right. They were bringing them straight from Dublin Airport to the maternity unit in an ambulance because they were completely ableist pregnant.
And that was a good move by Michael McDougall. I mean, who has done some very good stuff over the years.
Okay,
but I mean,
getting back to the undocumented Irish. I mean, I know somebody who's been living there 20 years, John, and he has 3 kids, wife. He's been living in America for about 20 years. He's illegally there because he only spoke to me recently because his mother died and he couldn't come home for the funeral, because if he comes home, he won't get back in again. So, do you have any sympathy for him if he gets caught?
No, I'm sorry, I can't, because, look, I mean, we can't be cribbing about all the IPASCO coming in and all the undocumented and the 1,000 single men coming in, being put in A and B and C, and then have your own family members illegal in another country. As I said, I will repeat again, if that's your frame of mind, you're a total hypocrite.
Okay, John, thank you for that. Let me go to Karen. Karen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
I'm good. Karen, you heard what John had to say. Absolutely not. One rule applies and that's it. There's no special rule for the Irish. Now, but mind you, for years we've been asking for the Irish to get some sort of amnesty because Ireland and America have such a great, wonderful relationship. Yeah, I don't know how good that is now.
I think Trump may look at that. First of all, you can't have one rule for the Irish and a rule for Venezuela.
I don't think Trump's going to look at that at all. Why would he? It's illegal. Trump is not going to go, but you, the Irish are grand.
But I think Trump's main agenda right now, day one, is getting these cartels out of the country, getting the rapists, getting the murderers, getting the guys that's bringing in all the fentanyl, going over, taking them over apartment complexes. You've got all these Venezuelan gangs. That's Trump's number one priority. Mm-hmm. He wants to get rid of all these millions first. Now, beyond that, I really don't think he's going to deport people that would be living, such as the Irish, and there's probably Mexican, there's Cuban, that would be living in the country 10, 15, 20 years, that are law-abiding, that they are contributing to society. Ultimately, I don't think that is Trump's agenda. I think Trump's agenda is to get rid of the cartels, these scumbags that are scourge on every city from Texas to Philadelphia. That's Trump's number one agenda. Then that's Tom Homan's number one agenda too. Mm. But I mean, in short, if you have broken the law, well, then you have to face the consequences. And if that means you're living in the US illegally, whether you're Irish or a Mexican or whatever you are, in this case Irish, then yeah, you should face deportation.
So we shouldn't get special treatment because we're Irish.
No, I don't think so. No, but I mean, I think there will be a deal done. By the way, they all love the Democrats. And the Irish government loved the Democrats. Why didn't they pressure Joe Biden for the last 4 years when he was in office? Mm. Why didn't they pressure Joe Biden to make some sort of an amnesty agreement for the Irish that have been living there so long?
Well, you know, I'm only telling you about this. Okay, there's a story by Fiona McEntee, who is a practicing lawyer, an immigration lawyer living in Chicago. She's from Dublin originally, and she's been practicing for decades in Chicago. And she says the Irish people living illegally in the US would be a priority for deportation under the second Trump term. Now, I don't know where she gets that from.
Exactly. Where is she getting that from? Tom Homan has not come out. I've been following this very closely. I've watched follow Trump and Tom Homan in particular, the border czar. And I stand corrected, but I've never once heard him mention the Irish. The cartels.
But he has been quite clear. It'll be the biggest mass deportation in the history of the American state, right? He's been very clear about that. And he's quite clear about the fact that if you're illegally in America, you're being sent back to wherever country you came from. He's been very clear about that.
Yeah, he has been. But I still think, I mean, if you do, there was one of the interviews as well. It was a press conference Trump did and he was asked something in immigration as well. And he just said, like, first, initially, initially is the cartels, it's the criminals, it's scumbags that are destroying America. That's his first order of business. Mm. After that, he probably, look, as he said, on the contrast, and he's also, we need millions of people. We need people coming into our country.
Oh, so they sure do. Yeah, but legally, they need millions of people coming in.
But I would be very surprised if 50,000, if that's the figure were given, and those 50,000 people were deported back to Ireland in the next couple of months. I'd be very, very surprised, to be honest with you, if that happened.
Where are they going to live?
I think there will be I think they will be dealt with it a case by case. And if you can prove that you're not, that you're law abiding, that your children are going to school. I mean, by the way, how do you even live in a country illegally? How do your children go to school? How do you work?
They do. I mean, they do. They get false PPS numbers. They've been doing it for years. Okay. People have been doing it for years. And their kids end up in school. The danger is, of course, if you leave the country. So, as I said, a mate of mine has been living there now for over 20 years with his family. He's got 3 kids and he's married over there.
Yeah.
And he's been living there illegally for the last 20-something years. And he was telling me recently, when his mother died here in Ireland, he couldn't come home for the funeral.
Yeah, and I've heard that before.
Yeah, you can't risk it because he won't get back in again.
Yeah.
You know?
And then, of course, you run the risk too. You do run the risk of, if you do get caught and you're sent back, you might be told that, look, you can't come into this country again for the next 10, 20 years. You also face that possibility.
We get a ban. I think it's an automatic ban of 3 years. Yeah, yeah.
But I think this is the media, again, sensationalized. Just like, as well, I saw that wonderful clip, it's all over social media with Sarah McInerney talking about birthright citizenship. We ended that in 2003, overwhelmingly. I remember that at the time.
Yeah.
And here she's complaining about America. Trump ending it.
Yeah.
Why in the name of God? So somebody come in, 8.5 months pregnant, arrive in to Texas or Arizona, wherever the case may be, drop the baby, and now an American citizen.
Yeah, I'm a guardian for that child, so I have to stay too. Yeah.
Yeah,
but that's what was happening. That's what I said to John. That's what was happening in Ireland back in 2003. People were coming in from Africa, and they were coming in 6 and 7 months pregnant, and literally getting an ambulance straight to the Rotunda Hospital.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I think that long term there will be some sort of an amnesty. But I mean, that's up to the government, the Irish government themselves. By the way, I mean, it's not looking very promising when you've Simon Harris calling to Trump a gowl there back in before the election. And all of a sudden, he's now licking his arse.
Don't even talk to me about the Irish government. They're an embarrassment at this stage. I mean, they still can't manage to put a government. They still can't manage to put a government together. And I believe, by the way, they're voting for the Taoiseach, right? It'll be a load of shite. You let them, Sinn Féin nominate Mary Lou, who hasn't got a chance, right? Yeah, I mean, look, we all know it's going to be Micheál Martin. There's no need to go through the whole process. It's just a waste of taxpayers' money, right? And then, once they decide, and they've decided nearly all who the ministers are, so they all get their little badge and they go up to the president for the day and have a little hoo-ha and a cup of tea in his house. And then they're taking another week off. And I said, this is a bleeding joke. I said, we elected them. How long ago now? Nearly a month and a half ago. And they still aren't working. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're a pack of wasters. Absolute and utter wasters. I mean, we need somebody who is decisive, who can make decisions. I mean, that's the one thing you have to give Donald Trump. His first day in office, look how many decisions he made.
I know, extraordinary.
Yeah, stay there. And Jason, stay with me for a second. I want to go to Michael as well. Michael, hi, how are you?
Hi, how you doing, Niall?
Good. Michael, now, you're from Dunbeg. Oh, from Donald Trump land. You're from Dunbeg.
Absolutely. I hope you're going to come down and go for a round of golf in his lovely golf course.
Oh, I'd love to. Yeah, I'd love to someday. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll organise it. We'll organise it for you, for sure.
Okay, and tell me, so how are the people in Dunbeg? Are they delighted?
Yeah, look, everybody is going to have their retractors. But at the end of the day, you know, for us down here in County Clare, you know, we're in rural Ireland. It's a rural community. You know, rural Ireland has been decimated with people who have to travel abroad to get work, whether it's Australia or America or Canada or whatever the case may be. So there's huge issues. But for the likes of Donald Trump and his organization to come in and to purchase the amazing property that they have there, providing 300 jobs, loads of other jobs that would are loads of other service providers are making a living off it. And I mean, if he hadn't done that at the time, you know, we would have mass amount of people having to leave our country. So, look, from my perspective and from a lot of people I know, what he's doing down in Dunbeg, what he's providing for Dunbeg, is absolutely fantastic. You know, and that's what we want. You know, I mean, he is the president of America. The idea that our government should be shunning him, you know,
they are.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. I mean, we saw.
But they shunned him. Yeah, when the last time he was over, they shunned him.
Pardon?
The last time he was in the country, they shunned him.
Yeah, the last time he was in the country, I mean, both his sons, whom I have met in Dunbeg, they come down around the community, they come into the pubs, they talk with the people, they help local.
I remember that because we had somebody in the pub on the radio, when I was doing the radio show as well, and we had somebody on the pub, in the pub, on the radio with the two sons in the background having the crack.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing about it is this, that, you know, we have to, at some point we're going to have to rise above all this political rhetoric and deal with the reality of the problems that
are we ever going to do that when RTE, which are our public broadcaster, are constantly looking at the Trump administration in a negative way? When you've got the Irish government constantly looking at the Trump administration in a negative way, how are we ever going to rise above it?
I think the real key is that I think that we underestimate the intelligence of the ordinary people. I think in particular, we look at this country and over the last number of years, particularly in the last 4 years and with COVID and all that, we can clearly, I think the ordinary people out there are beginning to look, you know, see through the dust and see through all this political rhetoric and all of what's going on. I mean, in fairness to Trump, and I agree with the lady that was speaking there a few moments ago, absolutely agree, I concur with everything she's saying. Like, the problems in America are bigger, though. You know, you have 70 to 80% of Americans are obese. The cost to the health service in America is huge. We have, you know, there's huge problems in America. And I think what they are trying to do, they're trying to sort out this open book. Because they are land-bound, we are surrounded by water, so it's a different situation. Because America is land-bound, they have to try in some way.
Well, we're kind of land-bound as well, Michael, because the majority of people coming into Ireland illegally are coming in from Northern Ireland through the United Kingdom. Yeah, so that is kind of land-bound too.
Well, I suppose you could say that, and that certainly happens, you know. So you have the economic migration, migrants, you have refugees, you have genuine people who want to come into Ireland. I think what needs to be done is, like you said earlier, governments, unfortunately, are not, applying the mechanisms that are in place for proper immigration. And I think that's all the...
Oh, no, we've abandoned policy years ago for some reason. Exactly. I have no idea why.
You've got it right. And the thing about it is when you look at the social welfare system, and I'm not knocking it to a certain degree, but when you look at the social welfare system here, you know, all that needs to be looked at. But it's not going to resolve the bigger problems now that we face in our country. And sometimes, with what's happening in America, however, there's a huge distraction, and media, and I'm not saying you in particular, but I'm just saying media in general, you talked about RT earlier, media in general have this thing to sort of distract away from the real politics of what's happening in the world. We look at our health system in this country, it is a broken system, our judicial system, you know, we look at the educational system, everything needs to be totally reformed. And while we might have a change of government now, nothing will change for the people.
No.
Nothing will absolutely change for the people.
No, the next 5 years are going to be as bad as the last five. And by the way, they're not going to fix any problems. The housing crisis will be just as bad in 5 years' time, I'm pretty sure of it. Well, actually, I predicted there on New Year's in my yearly predictions, I actually predicted this government won't last 2 years. But in relation to the Irish living in America, I don't know how many there are undocumented or illegals, whichever word you want to use. And they reckon somewhere between 20,000 and 50,000. It's an estimate, of course, because we don't know. So, I mean, if there is mass deportations and Trump is serious about, you know, deporting illegals in America, do you think the Irish should be treated any differently?
I think they will. I think there is a very good, deep down politically, I think there is a great relationship with America, with the Irish people. You have 40 million Irish in Americans. I think they have, you know, they have huge influence in politics. And at the end of the day, you know yourself what all politicians are. At the end of the day, all they are is a legislator.
Why should Paddy from Galway be treated any different to Mohammed from Bangladesh? Do you know what I mean?
I think for the very reason, I think that what Trump is really trying to say, and I concur with what your previous speaker was talking about, I think what he's trying to do is he sees the problem in Mexico in particular, and he's really focused on Mexico, and of course Venezuela and places like that, but he sees the problem in Mexico. He sees the amount of, as your previous speaker said, the fentanyl coming in is killing 100,000 people per year. So he sees all this. So as it should be a priority for any government. If we had that same situation here, we would have to do something. Now, he will come up with strong rhetoric, and he'll say, okay, we're going to do mass deportations. Now, the people of America know he's well capable of doing that. So what he's trying to do is sit down with these guys and say, when he leaves the government, when he leaves the presidency, he's trying to find a system. So it will. But I think we also need to focus on what he's doing with health, with the WHO. We need to focus what he's doing with education, with all that type of problem, because they are the bigger issues in America. They're the bigger issue.
No, the only reason he dropped out of the WHO is because of what they were charging America compared to what they're charging China and every other country. So I think he would probably go back to the WHO eventually if they dropped the price. So, and I think he's right, by the way. I mean, this is the thing about Donald Trump, and I've said it to people, he runs America like a business. He operates it like a business. And he's right. That's the way countries should be run, operated like a business.
But it is corporate America. It is corporate Ireland. And if you don't have the right people in place, you know, who understand business.
We don't. Look at the gobshites we have currently at the moment. So they can't even form a government together. Well, they're hoping by today they'll have a leader. And then they're taking another week off on holidays. And I'm going, what's the point?
The unfortunate thing is that unfortunately, we are really only a subcommittee of Europe now. You know, that's all we are.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
they're just a bunch of yes men for Europe. You're right. You're right. Listen, Michael, thank you very much indeed. And I appreciate it. And I might take you up on the golf sometime. All right. Thank you.
And anybody listening, down to visit beautiful Dunbeg is what you need to see.
Yeah, it is. And it's beautiful. It is. Dunbeg is a beautiful part of the world. Beautiful part of the world. Listen, Michael, thank you very much indeed. Let me go to Bernie. Sorry for keeping. I know Jason dropped off there. I lost Jason. Unfortunately, I can't get to everybody in time. I do apologise. Sorry, Bernie, go ahead.
Niall, I'm looking forward to seeing 50,000 people coming back from America who are illegally.
They're not looking forward to it, let me tell you.
No, they're not. But you know what? It might stop all the rot that's going on here. And, you know, maybe if they can get home, they're promised, they're on the proviso that they can go back and, you know, start take up their lives once they have the proper paperwork in place and be legal for once in their lives, and they don't have to worry about looking over their shoulder for the rest of their days. Maybe it's the only way to stop.
But they won't be able. They won't be able to do that. But here, if you're dumped home or deported because you're in a country illegally, you can't even apply for a visa for at least 3 years, and the chances of you getting one because you've been living there and broke the law already are probably slim.
But Niall, there's so many. You know, you have to do things right properly the first time. Yeah, why didn't they do more than they do it proper the first time?
Because they probably don't qualify. I mean, it's not that easy. The same way as, you know, to come to Ireland if you want to come legally, you know, you have to have something to offer a country. If Johnny, you know, who just has an education in Galway, wants to go and live in New York, it's not that easy, Bernie. He has to have some sort of skill. He has to have something to offer the Americans. He might need a sponsor. It's not that easy.
But the Irish people working and living over there do have skills now. They have acquired skills. They are skillful. But they are there illegally. And, you know, unless he leaves the window of opportunity open for them to make themselves legal now because they're, you know, they set up their face.
Are you saying they should get special treatment? You know, what's the difference
Every nation in the world is there illegally. All nations of the world have illegal people.
Yeah, there's 11 million illegals in America. 11 million.
Yeah, and they need them. Unfortunately, the Americans do need a lot of those people because they don't have enough people of their own.
Bernie, just stay with me because I just want to go back to Jason because I left him waiting ages and then he kind of disappeared on me for some reason. Jason, are you there?
Yeah, you with your big fat fingers pressing the wrong buttons.
It wasn't me. Say hello to Bernie, by the way.
Good afternoon, Bernie.
Jason, you heard what Bernie said. Well, you know, they can come back, but they can go back to America again, or they should have some process whereby if they can prove they're doing okay there or part of the community and, you know, I don't know. They should be able to say. I don't know. What do you think?
No, listen, I imagine now nothing was done about it when the Democrats were in for the last 4 years. But as soon as Trump mentioned something, we have our left-wing media over here, RT News, Talk, AFM, the whole lot. As you said, you were caught out about this having babies.
The anchor babies, you know, yeah. The clip is circulating on social media at the moment, Sarah McInerney. And by the way, can I just say, I don't particularly like Sarah McInerney because she was all pretending to be nice to me one day in the European elections. And then she asked me to stay back and I actually did it for her. I stayed back a few hours to go on prime time because I had no intentions of doing it. And then she treated me really badly when I was on prime time. But she didn't get the better of me, mind you.
I know.
I didn't like her at all. Horrible.
Why do you think the government won't go to a referendum with us on the immigration policies? Because they know what the Irish people will tell them. We told them back then in 2003 by 87%. This isn't a dumping ground for the rest of the world. This is a small little island and we got to look after it. Now, as for Trump and all these people, you said most of them got their PPS or whatever, their social security numbers illegally.
A lot of them did, yeah. There's no other way of doing it.
You get them, you charge them, you lock them up for claiming money by false pretenses, and then you deport them. Because that's what we're screaming for in this country, isn't it?
See, Bernie, there you go. Bernie, they're criminals. Can I just point out, if you want to be really technical about it, they're criminals.
Okay, so I can only hark back to when my grandparents went to America in the 20s, and you know, just
no, that was different time. There was no visa process then. They weren't. No, they weren't illegal. They weren't illegal.
They went and they stood like every other nation of the world on Ellis Island, like my grandfather.
Yeah, and my uncle did, and so did my aunt. That was a different time. They weren't illegal, Bernie, because there wasn't a process.
But we knew the right way to do things. Why did it change? Why did we do it illegally then? What changed?
What changed was there wasn't a process. There actually wasn't a process to get into the United States. It was a new country, realistically. They wanted as many people as possible to move there. They needed to populate it. It wasn't a problem. But then when they brought in the visa process, going back, I'm not too sure when it was, the 1970s, I think, the 60s or 70s, then everybody else, like every other country, had to apply to go to America.
Why didn't we do that? Why didn't the people who went to leave, why didn't they do that? Do it correctly and properly the first time?
Because they probably wouldn't have got in, Mary. Or Bernie, they probably wouldn't have got in. I mean, the only way you come to a country illegally is if you know you're not going to get there illegally. So you dump all your paperwork and you run in and hope that God nobody finds it. But that's not the right way of doing it.
I mean, let's say you take you, Bernie, right? There's a strong possibility that you would be refused a visa if you wanted to go to live in America tomorrow. Now, the only thing firstly, your age will go against you completely, right? I'm sorry, I'm not having a go at you over your age. Your age will go against you because you're not of working age anymore. The only thing that might go for you is the fact that you were a nurse. That might help, that you could help to work in hospices or whatever it is. But the thing about it is that I would be 90% sure you would be refused.
Well, that's fine. I mean, to be honest, I think
Jason would be refused too. They've enough truck drivers. They don't need any more.
They're still advertising.
Why are they? All right. Okay.
No, I wouldn't go. I wouldn't go on anybody. But Niall, sorry for going across you. I mean, the reason he's doing this, I mean, everybody's homing in on this part. They're throwing out us. He's doing this to stop the sex trafficking. The amount of kids that are being trafficked across that border is absolutely unreal. And they've no idea where they're ending up. And you have these liberals welcoming everybody in. They don't really care about the kids. I mean, you were talking about Donald Trump putting kids in cages. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And it turned out that was Obama's policy.
It wasn't Donald Trump. Somebody actually said it on Sky News this morning that Donald Trump's policy was to separate families and put kids in cages. I said, it wasn't.
That was Obama. Okay.
Yeah.
And sorry, Niall, when you get stopped at the road, right, and you have your kids in the car and you're drunk driving, yeah, what did the guards do? Or the police do? Don't they separate your family? Don't they put you in the back of a police car, bring you off to jail, hopefully, and take your kids away? So that's separation.
Well, they don't. They usually call social services.
No, but you know what I mean? Yeah. What these people are saying is you can't take children away from their families, their mothers and fathers, ever. Yes, you can.
The reason they do that is because you cannot put children in a large cell with about 20 or 50 or 60 adults, primarily men. You cannot do that.
They're looking after the children. They're looking after the children. But see, the Liberals won't let you say that. The Liberals are saying it's all racist. Everything's racist. It's all misogyny. It's all racist. But we're trying to do it in this country. So how can we say we want tougher borders and give out about him?
Yeah, see, Bernie, this is the thing. We cannot turn around and say we want strong border policy and then on the other hand say, but you maybe you should give the Irish a break in America.
I know, and I concur with that completely. However, there has to be another way to visit it. There has to be another way to do this because a lot of people have set up their homes and their lives there, and they're a valuable part of the communities in America now.
But they're illegal. It's illegal. So they're breaking the law. I'm sorry.
I know, and I appreciate that what you're saying. So send them all home. I'm looking forward to seeing all these people arrive in the airport and see what our government is going to do. And they try to say that there's no illegals. There is. Why don't they do it? If he says he's going to do it and he does it, well, then we have to wake up here and return people that we have staying here. And then do it properly and, you know, try
well,
and...
Well, can I point out there's very few illegal Americans living in Ireland. There's very few. You could probably count it on one hand. There's very few illegal Americans living in Irish. The illegals in Ireland are all from the continent of Africa and Asia and places like that.
You know, if 50,000 Irish people coming back from America, and 50,000 other people have to leave here to make space for our own, because they were brought up, educated and reared here. They went to America illegally and they've been sent back, which is, you know, what we want to try and do here. And what are we going to do for them? Are they going to get houses? Are they going to get social welfare? Are they going to get Bank of Ireland?
No. Well, that's up to the Irish government to sort that problem out. Yeah, sorry, Jason.
They should, They should be put at the bottom of the list. They legged it from this country when times are going tough. They wouldn't stay and support our country and rebuild our country. It's like all these men. Niall, I've no problem with immigration, right? If it's men, women and children coming in, we're bringing in families, right? Why is there so many men leaving their countries and not staying to fight and make their own countries better? Because it's easier to come over to a Western country where it's so liberal like this and change it to suit them.
Why, I want to know is why there's so many men leaving their wives at home.
Well, according to them, it's safer for them to travel on their own and then descend for their
families. Bullshit. They're gone for months on end. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, years. They're gone for years, actually.
Do you think all them men are coming out there about them?
No, they're dirtbags. Sorry, Bernie.
Yeah.
The whole world, I mean, it's all wrong. The whole, he's proving... Donald Trump, by doing this, is going to prove to the whole world that what all the other countries are trying to say we're supposed to accept is wrong. And we have to, as a world, we have to go back and revisit. Why are people not growing their own countries? Why isn't the likes of India, who has a space program and has poverty in their country, why are the people who leave India and Pakistan not come back and rebuilding their own countries? Why?
They still get, still get foreign aid. You know, India still gets foreign aid off countries. China still gets foreign aid off countries.
India has one of the biggest companies in the world, Tata, one of the biggest companies in the world, the steel company.
And they still receive foreign aid. They still receive foreign aid. They've more billionaires in India than anywhere in the world, but yet the majority of the people are so poor that they have to receive foreign aid.
There's massive corruption, Jason. Jason, okay, listen, I got to go to a couple more people here as well. Thank you, Jason. Bernie, stay with me if you want to. Let me just go to Nuala. Nuala, hi, how are you?
Well, not too bad at all.
Yeah, I'm feeling Bernie's soft side here today. You know what I mean? I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm sensing it wrong. But Nuala, you know, should the Irish be treated differently?
Well, I mean, no, I don't think so. I think everybody should be treated the same. And I think if you're not dependent on the state and you're working and you're paying tax, because I know people that have went over and they were illegal there for a while. And they were paid tax and they had their own businesses, but they got cut out and they had to come home and sell their business. Now, I think if a person is not state dependent, it doesn't get any state support, I think they're a good citizen to have in any country.
Are they? Really? Because they are criminals. Yeah. They're illegal.
Well, I mean, I think there has to be a pathway for them, you know.
Oh, well, see, why? Okay, so what's the difference? Why would we need a pathway for Paddy from Galway? Should there be a pathway then for Mohammed from Bangladesh?
Well, if he's working and he has and he's not state dependent, there is a pathway in the sense in Ireland if you're in the country
I would disagree with you, Nuala, because I would go along with what everybody's been saying to me for the last two or three years. That if, you know, if Paddy from Bangladesh, well, Mohammed from Bangladesh, is working, say, in a garage in Ireland, right? You know, late night garage, whatever it is, and he's illegally here. He arrived in the country with no passport. He's illegally here. He's working illegally, you know, using a fake number, probably PPS number, whatever, right? Should he be deported if he's caught? I'd say absolutely. Of course he should.
Of course he should if he isn't... I think
So you're saying, of course he should, but you're saying it's okay for the Irish in America. There should be a pathway for them.
Yeah, but they would be paying tax. I'm talking about people that would be paying tax over there.
Yeah, but there's people illegally in this country paying tax.
The person is working in a garage and he's working with cash in hand.
He's probably not working cash in hand. He's using a fake PPS number and paying tax using that fake number.
Well, then they should get the door.
No, 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 no. Where's all these fake things? How can you get fake stuff? I don't understand how you're allowed to.
I don't know how it works, Bernie, but I remember many, many years ago, I was 21 years of age and I was in New York and I was offered a PPS number for $200. And it was a PPS number of a person who is dead and they had just died. And seemingly the PPS number works for a period of time. I don't know how they do it nowadays. Maybe it's all changed now. But the PPS number works for a certain period of time until the Department of Taxation or the Revenue or wherever it is figure out that it's not a living person anymore.
They used to go to the cemetery and you'd find out a child that died young that might have had PPS number or whatever, social insurance number, and then you use that.
Yeah, I assume that's still the way they do it. Yeah.
It's still illegal. You're breaking the law even worse then. You're taking the
fraud. Oh, yeah, it's fraud. It's fraud. Yeah.
It is fraud. If you're found out to be living like that in any country, in any part of the world, that should be a prison sentence and home. Not even do not pass, go. I don't care how good you think you were. That's wrong.
But how do you think illegal... how do you think they live there?
If you look at our electoral register, it's Bowies. There's no way you can... You know, I went rang up the electoral commission and I was saying, you know, people can vote a few times. He says, well, have you any proof? I said, you think I'm going to go around on a bicycle and follow people around to see if they're going to a different polling station? You know, but the same thing. I think this our Department of Social Welfare PPS numbers are not connected up, and they're not connected. There's people on the RAS scheme that are driving around in better cars than people that are working full time.
Ah, they give away PPS numbers in this country like confetti.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
The whole system is corrupt. Then
yeah.
I've only ever got mine through the right channels. I went the right way to do everything.
Of course you did.
Why do we have a tolerance for people who do it the wrong way?
And well, we seem to have a tolerance for it. We just hand them out.
That's how societies are built. Mm. If you everyone is pulling on the same rope together, we're all making to make.
Yeah,
make
but I'm listening to you and Nuala, and you and Nuala are coming from the same, you know, opinion here today. Both of you are kind of saying, oh, but if they're Irish, maybe there should be a pathway for them to stay.
No, I mean, I'm changing my views now because I just feel. Sorry, if you broke the law and you've done it like that, taking somebody else, a dead person's PPS number, well, out you go into jail and then home. There's not another place for you. Why should we have to put up with your fraudulent way of life?
Okay. Stay there. Anne-Marie, be with you in a second. Maureen, I've got to go to you first. Maureen, hi. How are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. Maureen, the Irish living in America, the undocumented Irish, who are probably working, married, have kids, going to school and everything else. This blows Bernie away, by the way. She can't figure this one out. They're married, they have kids in schools. Should they be turfed home?
Of course they should. Mm. Should the clue is in the word illegal.
Do you feel sorry for their kids who know no better? Their kids, are some of them might have even been born in America.
No, because it's not their fault. It's the parents or parent.
Mm-hmm.
Who went there illegally and stayed there illegally, and now they visited on their children if they get caught. So no, that's their problem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as I said, like we can't be over here cribbing and, you know, kind of shawling, as the old people would say, but all the illegals here, get them all out. It has to be straight across the board.
Speaking of Irish people cribbing, here's the clip, by the way, from Sarah McInerney last night. It's only 20 seconds long. Have a quick listen to this. Hold on.
Can I ask you about what Donald Trump's plan is when it comes to the birthright citizenship and his plan to remove that? Because the latest count this evening was that 18 states are going to challenge that legally. Do you think he can get it through?
Does Ireland have birthright citizenship?
No, we don't. Not at the moment, no.
Well, why should we have it?
Sorry, I'm not saying you should or shouldn't. My question is, do you think he can get it through?
It's being abused by illegal migrants. If Ireland doesn't have it, why are you bothering me about this?
I love to see Archie being caught out by the hoof. I mean, it was mind-blowing that Sarah McInerney made such a big deal about the birthright citizenship when we got rid of it 20 years ago. 20 years ago. For the very reason that he just said, because it's being abused. Okay, getting back to the Irish, Maureen. See, Bernie, Maureen has no sympathy for them. None.
No, at all. You have to have it. You have to have it straight across the board. We can't sit here like we do, and some people feel sorry for them all because they're over there and they went and now they're working and they're pillars of society and all the rest of it. But they're not actually, because they committed a crime. They entered illegally and they're still there illegally. So we want to get rid of illegals here, so they should be gone as well.
Yeah, I'm horrified at the way they did, the levels they went to get to be for illegal in there.
Bernie, no, I'm not being smart. How else did you think they were doing it? Because if you're illegally in a country, how else do you think you're working?
I thought they had holiday visas that they didn't come home on. That's how stupid I am.
Yeah, but even if a lot of them, that's how they would go, with a holiday visa and just not go home, right? But you don't get a PPS number with a holiday visa.
Well, I don't. They were working under the table. I mean, I'm that innocent, maybe, that I thought that they were...
No, because there was actually...
God bless her. God bless her, Maureen.
There was actually a case came out their age. Oh, this is a few years ago. I was actually reading about it. And, you know, these guys that will sell you these numbers, right? for a fixed amount of sum. What they do was they go around to graveyards and they start taking names, and they look, maybe they know what they're looking for, though. And they take the names, and that name then is sent in, and that's how they're getting PPS numbers until they're caught. That's how they were doing it.
I'm absolutely horrified by that. I really am. I didn't think that.
Yeah, that's how they were doing it.
Well, see, to fit in, they have to have legitimate jobs. So, you know, there has to be a way of paying tax in a legitimate job, and you don't have your own PPS number, so you have to get one from somewhere.
But what happens to people inside them who finds out that they have a load of illegal people?
But they might not know. They might not never know, the people who hire them. They take it, you know, from...
Well, maybe clear out the country of America and send everyone back who's there illegal then and start fresh.
Maureen, do you feel sorry for the illegal Irish?
Pardon? Do I feel sorry for the illegal Irish?
Yeah.
No, I don't. The clue again is not illegal. No, I don't.
Stay there, Maureen and Bernie. Let me go to Anne-Marie. Anne-Marie, hi, how are you?
How are you, Niall?
Hey, do you feel sorry for them?
I wouldn't wish it on them that they're going to be deported back home, but, like, they've been living with this risk. I mean, anybody that's there in those circumstances, they must know. It's hanging over their head.
I'm sure they're looking over their shoulder all the time.
The whole, like, I mean, that's not really a great way to live anyway, is it? But, you know, I'd say they've always kind of known this day might come. And, you know, they're illegal. It doesn't matter where they come from. If they're in the country illegally, they have to go, you know, so.
Why do you think we all seem to have that different attitude? You know, that, maybe the Irish should have a special treatment of some description.
I think really the Irish, because the Irish probably, you know, they built America, they built England, they went and they worked. Whereas what we're kind of experiencing here is people
coming.
It's
a bunch of wasters coming here, yeah.
Absolutely. They're coming to take advantage of the social welfare system. And those people in America, God help them if they are deported back to this country, because the sheriff that's running this country won't know what to do with them, because they've nowhere to put them, they've no houses for them. You know, so I hope that they're not deported if they're there working and all. But unfortunately, if he's doing it right across the board, they'll be coming home.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why, by the way, Fiona McEntee, who's from Chicago practicing immigration law. She's originally from Dublin. She's been working there for decades and she's an expert. And she said, and I'm quoting, Irish people living illegally in the US would be a priority for deportation under the second term of Donald Trump. I don't know why she said priority. So she seems to believe that he's focusing very much on those as well.
Well, maybe she's reading into the fact that, you know, we have a government that's been kind of flagging Trump off.
We've been
gaining millions from, or billions, or whatever we're getting from the companies that are over here in tax. So maybe if she's reading into that kind of thing, maybe he's just a bit peed off and he's just gone.
Yeah, because if I was Trump, I'd have nothing to do with the Irish politicians.
No, neither would I. Sorry, go on.
The other thing I was thinking is the people I made Irish citizens, who probably use this as a backdoor into America, are probably arriving in America now, and they don't want. They're coming as Irish citizens, but they're not Irish citizens, and they're not doing any of the work or any of the things that the Irish people probably did in history in past times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
maybe so, that's the reason why he's, you know, maybe that's what he's saying. Well, if the Irish are that, you know, made all these people citizens, they're not. Yeah. They're not people we want, and, you know, let them go back to Ireland as well. We might also get back some of our own people that we made citizens of our country who are not.
Yeah.
There's 50 million Irish in America. They reckon somewhere between 30 and 50 million Irish in America. There are people who are either Irish or have an Irish parent, right? Or descendant. I mean, we're certainly great at spreading our seed, aren't we, in fairness? Jesus, we're busy. Yeah, sorry, Maureen.
I was just thinking there yesterday, you know what, I just hope and pray that he invites none of these to the White House on St. Patrick's Day. I just hope he does. You know what, I nominate Enoch Burke.
Yeah, I wanted to go too. I said I'd go.
So Enoch Burke. Donald, are you listening?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can tell you now, there is not a possibility or a chance. I don't think, and I would, I really don't think Donald Trump, because I know, as I said, because I know somebody in the administration has spoken to me already about this, he's aware of the names he's been called by the Irish politicians.
Yeah.
So he is aware of that. So I don't think he'll be inviting them over for Paddy's Day.
Oh, good.
Sorry, Anne-Marie.
My day.
What do you say?
I was just going to say, it just shows you the caliber of politicians that we have, that they're so stupid that they would speak that way about somebody who is more than likely going to be elected the president of the most,
most powerful country in the world, yeah.
The most powerful country in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of dope would go on national television and start calling them names? I mean, seriously, that's what we have run in this country.
Oh, yeah, but,
look
at the behaviour of them today, right? So they've figured out a few ministers today. They're going to have to go to the president. They've to vote for a Taoiseach, right? There's only three in the running, and two of them clearly are not going to get it, so that's just a waste of time. So it's going to be Micheál. Yeah, we all know it's going to be Micheál. And then once they're finished, they go and tell the president, well, here's our government, here's our ministers, a little shake of hand, a cup of tea for everybody, and then we're taking a week off.
Yeah, and then the other the thing with the talking rights, I think that is just laughable that if they're allowed to do that, to go into the government, to agree with everything that they're signing up for, and then they want to go over to the other side, the opposition, and kind of talk about pretend that they're opposition. I mean, what kind of country have we? It's a banana republic we're living in. It's not a proper country.
No, the whole lot of them, you know, Micheál Martin, Simon Harris, Mary Lou, they're all a joke. They're an absolute and utter joke, the whole lot of them. Yeah.
Look,
as when you listen to Donald Trump's inauguration the other day and the way he spoke,
brilliant.
And you may not agree with everything he says, that's fine. To have somebody who is a decision maker, who'll make decisions, wasters we have do nothing.
Honest to God, I mean, they've run the country for over 100 years, and look at the state of the place. Yeah. I mean, honest to God, it's just, I just thought, listen to him. I'm coming in, I'm going to do A, B and C. And the first day, he sat down and he signed it. And I said, there you go, that's what we need.
And what a hard-working man. I mean, he was up at 6 o'clock on the day of the inauguration. And 12 o'clock at night, I was watching CNN. He was still signing the orders in front of the press.
Yeah.
You know
and
mean?
Then goes into that church and you had to listen to your woman.
Oh, that gobshite, yeah.
She had a cheek. I mean, she used that as a political
speech. Of course she did.
She called it a bishop. Give me a break.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
No, she's clearly an activist. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I mean, he sat there, in fairness to him, listened to it. I would have got up and walked out.
Yeah, well, I'd say somebody was in trouble. I'd say somebody within the White House team or staff, he probably said to them, did nobody check out who this one was before I went in here?
Yeah.
Anyway, stay there for a second, Anne-Marie. Let me go to Gladys. Gladys, hi.
Hi, Niamh. How are you doing?
Good, Gladys.
Listen, I'm a bit slightly conflicted, you know, because I think that Irish illegal who set up families and constantly living the life with looking over the shoulder, but they're contributing to the society. So, and the good relations that we have with America, like, we don't hate them. You know?
Well, we don't. Our politicians seem to, but we don't.
Yeah, well.
I love them, actually.
They hate us as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I do
they
remember
hate
cases.
Us.
But, you know, I do remember an occasion, I don't know if you remember the case, of a legal couple in Canada who arrived legally, all the paperwork, all the, you know, everything done, you know, sort of thing, set up their life, had their first child, and their second child, unfortunately, you know, had a disability. And they were expelled from Canada because their child was disabled.
Mm.
And the reasoning being that it was going to cost Canadian
taxpayer money.
Yeah.
I remember
that case?
I do remember that story, yeah.
Yeah. You know, sort of thing like so. And here we are. Right? I mean,
Canada very strict. Like Canada was the same. Remember, Canada had the HIV tests as well.
Yes.
Because they didn't want to let you in with HIV because you would cause the Canadian government taxpayer money. Yeah.
Well, this is it. You know, and they were legal. They had done everything. You know, and there was a lack of humanity there. Absolute lack of
in that case.
In that case.
Yeah.
In that case. So I think what happens here, and, you know, sort of thing, we are way over the other side of this. You know, we have now decided the Irish citizens, the natives, if you like, are the ones that need to be ignored and treated badly. And anybody else then, who actually, you know, most of them don't even particularly like us, you know, coming from a certain type of culture, wouldn't be fond of us, you know, under our way of living. Are the most welcome. So it's all upside down. It's upside down. And there is no way they're going to have to go. I have visions in my head of Micheál sitting outside Trump's office with a withered shamrock bowl.
Yeah, he won't be long, Micheál. He'll be with you in a minute. Yeah.
And leaving him there all day.
Yeah, they should actually do that. They should leave like a bold school child. Let him sit out in the West Wing somewhere with his bowl of shamrock in his hand.
And he's not allowed to go to the Jack. Yeah. So he has to wait till in his chair.
Yeah.
As punishment. And maybe then they won't kick out the good, hard-working Irish in America. You know, I think
but
it's
see, but,
awful,
but Gladys, you are being a bit of a hypocrite. You are being. Yeah, I know. Because you're kind of telling me that if it's you know, Muhammad from India, but if it's and he's working, but if it's you know, Jack from Galway and his family and his three kids are in school, but he's illegally there, maybe we should give him sort of some consideration.
Well, I think historically we have such a good relationship, you know, with the Americans.
Mm.
As opposed to other nations.
But that doesn't. Yeah, but good relationships don't make a difference when somebody's broken the law.
I know.
That, by the way, can I just point out that priest who had a go with Donald Trump, she turned around and said, every illegal immigrant is not a criminal. Actually, technically, if you're an illegal immigrant, you are a criminal by the very nature of the fact you're an illegal immigrant. Yeah. So they all are criminals.
What you're saying,
like,
I get what you're saying. I am being hypocritical and I'm thinking of my own Irish that are over there illegally. And whatever the case may be, and probably have tried to do it illegally. But
well, I know a good friend of mine. I worked with him years ago, about 20 years ago. And I remember him saying to me one day, I'm thinking of going to America with the whole family because he was just browned off here in Ireland. He wasn't getting anywhere. And up sticks he went, him and the two kids, and they've three now, him and the two kids and his missus, up sticks, off to America illegally. He's now working in a really good job over there. And I was only talking to him recently, and as I mentioned earlier
on. Not so take a care.
He can't even come home for his mother's funeral.
Yeah.
Because he's illegally in America.
Yeah. And he'll never get back in.
No.
And they always live with the threat of that. And if Donald Trump does what he says he's going to do, well, Ireland is in trouble. Because where are we going to put all of our native Irish back?
Yeah, that's
where
not, are we going to put them? Well, you're right, but that's not Trump's fault. That's not Trump's fault.
No. If he's going to do what he says he's going to do, then we all have to be, you know, tarred with the one brush. And you can't show favouritism, otherwise, you know, what's the point? Do you know what I mean? He'd be accused of all sorts. So he has to do what he has to do. But he might, I'm hoping, if Micheál sits outside and on his knees with the shamrock, saving away and begs for forgiveness, you know.
I wouldn't even allow that. I mean, Anne-Marie as well, I think that's a great idea. I think Trump, if somebody knows somebody in the administration, maybe they can pass a message on, invite Micheál over, you know, leave him in one of the smaller rooms in the West Wing with his bowl of shamrock sitting on his chair. And just leave him there for the day. And just keep saying, Mr. Trump will be with you shortly, Micheál. And just leave him there for the day with his withered shamrock.
You know? Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Bring him in a cup of tea every now and again.
He might have a little accident, you know, we might because there's no toilet facility.
Well, you just love to tell Donald Trump that they actually don't represent most of us.
Yeah, well, I did say to you already, I have a good friend who's in administration. When I say a good friend, an acquaintance who's in administration, has been hired by Donald Trump and he's over there at the moment. And
well, you name dropper.
I didn't mention names, did I? Did I mention names?
No, you didn't.
Okay,
no.
But he has a very good position, so he would be in touch. And I sent him all the screenshots of the stuff Irish politicians have been saying about him, including Mary Lou called him a racist and a misogynist, Micheál and what they've all said and what Simon Harris said about him, and the picture of Simon Harris flashing his Kamala hat. Do you remember his Kamala cap? Before the election, he had the Kamala hat, campaign hat.
Yeah.
So I sent him all those pictures. I said, make sure Donald gets to see these, you know?
Yeah.
And I also said to him, any possibility I could deliver the shamrock on St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah.
I said, I'll represent the Irish.
And a load of us go in.
Yeah. The contingent.
Yeah.
Gladys, thanks for that. Stay there, Anne-Marie, for a second. Let me go to Tony. Tony, hi.
Niall, how are you? You well?
I'm good, Tony. So, Tony,
I'm good.
We're all for getting rid of the illegals in Ireland. They should be chucked out, deported and all that. So, should all the illegals be chucked out and deported out of America?
Yes.
Including the Irish?
Yes.
Do you feel sorry for them?
But what I would say is...
Oh, you're putting a caveat. Oh, here we go. There's a caveat. Is there a caveat?
Listen to the caveat, Niall.
Okay.
I think, but that the Irish government is so concerned about people in emergency situations, but that the Irish government should set up a big incentive, because I'm sure there's a lot of tradesmen in construction, carpenters, plasterers, bricklayers, scaffolders, concrete workers. That would be a real addition to Ireland. We can set aside $4 billion for Ukrainians for this year, can't we?
Something like that, yeah.
So why not set aside a few billion for the Irish to come home and start work? Maybe small plot of land, and they don't need planning permission to build themselves a decent sized house.
Well, now, hold on. Hang on, Tony.
Well, it's
you want no, hang, no, 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 no. Let me finish. So in 2009, Paddy from Galway was pissed off because we had a recession and he wasn't going to get a job. So he pissed off illegally to America, right?
Yeah.
And maybe met somebody over there, whatever. Okay, hold on. Let me finish. So he's been there illegally for the last 12 years, right? And Donald Trump chucks him out. And you want the Irish government, the taxpayers of Ireland, to give Paddy a free plot of land. Why? He abandoned us. I'm not giving him anything.
But they're giving it's his problem. Plots of land to Africans and Asians.
Well, they shouldn't be giving plots of land to Africans and Asians.
But they are. There's a big
but they shouldn't be. I don't care, but they shouldn't be.
They shouldn't.
Why would you reward him?
They shouldn't be doing it.
Why would you reward Paddy?
I agree with you. But because of the Irish government's generosity to people in emergency situations, poor Paddy is being evicted from America, being deported, so he needs help.
We can help everyone else. Paddy needs help.
Well, Niall, hold on and put it to the Irish people.
I feel equally less sympathetic for Paddy as I do for Mohammed, who's working in a garage in Talla illegally. Do you know what I mean? They're both illegally in a country.
What I'm saying is the Irish government is so sympathetic to people in emergency situations. They're arriving here from Birmingham, Manchester, London, Paris, everywhere, and they're getting free accommodation, 3 meals a day. Why not do it for Paddy?
They won't do it for Paddy.
I would rather my tax money spent on that. I would rather my tax money spent on poor Paddy getting...
Paddy is back in his own country. Paddy can get a job. Sorry, Anne-Marie. Go ahead, Anne-Marie.
No, I was just thinking, talking about giving them a plot of land and building their own house. Yeah. Did they that man in Wicklow knock down his house?
That's right.
Or else he had to go to prison. And that was on his own land. So why did you think that the Irish government would do...
I tell you, why don't we give him a bottle of champagne when he's coming home as well? Tony, just stop out with that. A bottle of shamrock.
They have no interest in the Irish people.
That's been started out by Dana White. And seemingly, but just like if Conor McGregor, that's going to be a real two fingers up to the Irish government.
No, I tell you what, if Conor McGregor is representing Ireland, I'm embarrassed.
Dana White is very, very.
I would never want Conor McGregor representing the Irish people. That would be an embarrassment for a multitude of reasons.
I would rather Malachy
Stevenson. I would rather anybody apart from Conor McGregor.
But Niall, listen, how close he is, how close Trump is to Dana White, because when the UFC.
I know all that.
He came to
What's the story with McGregor, by the way? His voice has changed again.
Donald Trump is after hearing everything that the Irish government has said about him. He knows the Irish government hates McGregor and that McGregor hates the Irish government.
Wait, can I just ask you, McGregor's from Crumlin, right, isn't he?
But that will be a massive fingers up to the Irish
Tony, government. You know McGregor, he's from Crumlin, isn't he?
Yeah.
Why is it when he was interviewed there on CNN, over the weekend, where they asked him about something, he went, the light is shining and now that light, and I'm going, is there something wrong with him, the way he's speaking? Why is he speaking like that? Something wrong with him?
I'm not saying he's a nice man for one.
He's a gobshite.
I'm not saying he deserves to do that. But what Donald Trump does is he takes things in. He's looking at the Irish government and going, tell you what.
I know what you mean. No, I'm not denying what you're saying, Tony. And you're probably right, actually, because Donald Trump wouldn't know, you know, the Irish feeling on McGregor. You know, McGregor is either like love him or hate him. You know what I mean?
No, they love him in America, Noel.
They
love him in America. Okay, so it's going to be a massive two fingers up to the Irish government and a massive two fingers up to some Irish people that hate McGregor.
All right, Tony, thanks for that. Let me go to Aisling. Aisling, hi, how are you?
Sorry, Niall. How are you doing?
Sorry, Anne-Marie, did you want to say something just before Aisling?
I just want to say I have to go. I'm so sorry.
That's
so,
okay, Anne-Marie, no problem at all. Aisling, thank you very much. Now, what do you want to say? What would you like to say?
Hi. Yes, sure, no problem. So basically, okay, so first of all, I obviously have a lot of compassion for a lot of the Irish over there. They took the chance, they went over. And at this stage, a lot of them, you know, it's families, businesses, homes. So it is devastating.
But,
however, it's illegal. It's just illegal. And Trump is, at the end of the day, looking out for his own people, for the economy. And if you go over, you take a chance, you know the consequences, unfortunately, if you're caught and if you have to get out of there. And the Irish government should, I partially agree with what Tony was saying, should stand up and go, we have illegals coming in here that we can't even house them. They're being put up in tents just to make us look good for the rest of Europe. We need to look after our own. At the end of the day, the recession hit. Now, they all, like a lot of people left before the recession, but a lot of the time, you know, the recession hit, hate that. We weren't looked after. A lot of people got up, left, took the chance. So if they come back, look after your own, like Trump is doing, and just maybe get rid of like a wadload of illegals that have come in undocumented, nothing compared to the amount you have in America. It's unsustainable. We can't afford it. We're in the, you know, we're in the toilet
financially.
Yeah, like
but mind you, Tony was saying if the illegal Irish are chucked out of America and sent back to Ireland, that we should give them, like, because some of them might be carpenters or plumbers or whatever, right? And they'd be useful. That we should give them, like, a free plot of land. And go, why would you want to reward people for doing something illegal? That doesn't make any sense to me.
No, okay, that's a little, listen to me. I mean, a lot of them over there have made good lives themselves. If you come back, they would have a lot to contribute to Ireland. They are their own at the end of the day. Look after your own. Obviously, compassionate. Look after refugees.
So should there be a, everybody's saying to me today, there's a little bit of hypocrisy here today, right? Because I've loads of people saying, look, we agree with Donald Trump and we should do the same in Ireland. Illegals should be deported, right? But they're saying, but when it comes to the Irish, sure, you know, they've been living in the communities and they're working and maybe they, you know, there should be a pathway for them to stay and you know, and make an appeal.
Listen, at the end of the day, listen, wouldn't that be great? That would be fantastic. However, it's not, we're not living in a dream world. And at the end of the day, fair is fair. If you're illegal, I'm not a stick in the mud by any manner of means. And I don't exactly, I'm not exactly pro-government as is, but at the end of the day, it is illegal, and he's looking after his own people the way we should be looking after our own people. Like, we have so many people coming in. There's hotels. I'm living in Cadorcan, and there's a hotel in Cadorcan, full men, all Muslim men, not a woman or child to be seen, and people are actually being intimidated. So I'm like, who are these people coming in? They're undocumented.
Yeah, well, mind you, the Garda Síochána have said that that's not true. Mind you, Grip Media have said that absolutely is true, that they're not being documented or vetted in the way that you would like them to be. Aisling, thank you for that. I have loads of people still to get to. Professor Seth, I'll be with you in a second. Let me just go to Norman. Norman, hi, how are you?
Hello, Niall. How are things?
I'm good. Norman, in relation to this idea that, you know, and I'm just reading here from Fiona McEntee, who is a Chicago lawyer, now originally from Dublin, and she's been working over there for decades as an immigration lawyer. And she believes, by the way, the Irish living illegally in the US would be priority for deportation under Trump's rules. So do you feel sorry for them? Should they be treated differently, the Irish?
No.
There's possibly, we don't know how many there is. Could be anywhere between 20,000 and 50,000. I don't know.
Okay.
I've read up loads of articles today and they all quote different figures, so it's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah.
Could be more. You know.
Yeah. But the law is the law, so, you know, you can't make exceptions.
For the Irish.
For anybody.
Yeah, so treat them the same as everybody else. Round them up and put them on a plane and send them home.
Yeah. You have 100,000, 120,000 Ukrainians. You can send them home and then the Irish can take the place. No?
Oh, yeah, well, that's if the war ends, of course. But mind you, the war is almost over.
But what war? We keep talking about this war that are fleeing a war. Most of them are not from a war zone. There's very few. Most of the ones from the war zone are in Russia, not in Europe.
No, I'm aware of that. I'm aware of that. But mind you, Trump believes that war will be over in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, but it's a NATO war. It's a war that NATO and the UK and Europe mm-hmm. promoted.
It was a war that never should have happened, by the way. It was a war that never should have happened. It was actually was actually encouraged by the Biden administration and by NATO. Yeah.
And Johnson and, and Zelensky, who had promised his own people who elected him that he was going to talk to Putin and go for peace and stop the attack of people in the Donetsk region the Azov Battalion, you know, by the Ukrainians. And he didn't do it. So he should be. He's not even elected anymore. He's illegal.
He's not illegal. At a time of war, the incumbent president or prime minister or whatever it is in any country, that's normally the way, would remain in position of power. That's
before
normal.
The so-called war, his popularity was down to 26%.
Well, sure, he was listed in the Panama Papers going back years ago. Sure, before the war, there was loads of articles in the paper that Ukraine was one of the most corrupt countries in the world. And he was listed in the Panama Papers. And yet all of a sudden when the war started, sure, he's a great lad, isn't he? You know what I mean? I'm not going to get into that. I could do a whole topic on it today. You know what I mean? By the way, Putin's no better, by the way. He's clearly a dictator. But in saying that, the war should end. That war should end in the next few weeks. And you are right. You know, obviously, I don't know if the government are going to give a waiver now to people who've been living here. But the vast majority of people who've come from Ukraine into Ireland are not actually working. They're unemployed. So from that point of view, I don't think they've set their roots in Ireland, so to speak.
But I welcome, you know, I'm quite left-wing, so I welcome immigrants, and I've been an immigrant myself. But I can't understand if you bring people into a country and you don't have housing for your own people or the people already living here. That seems to me like...
Well, what happens when he sends all the Irish home, if indeed he does? Where are they going to live?
We send the Ukrainians home, then I'm sure all the houses they're sitting in and the medical cards they have.
Okay. All right. Listen, Norman, thank you for that. But let me go to Professor Seth Tillman, who's a professor in Maynooth University of Law and Criminology. Seth, hi. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Good.
I only want to call in to make a very limited point on this very important discussion about immigration policy in the United States.
Yeah.
When you quoted that Chicago lawyer saying that Irish people may be priority, that doesn't necessarily mean that's the administration's priority. There are lots of people... You know, when the wheel hits the road, they're making policy. And if you're a local immigration officer or police officer with oversight for this, you know, you want to send your people to make arrests where you'll get your numbers as high as possible and where your people will be the most safe.
Mm-hmm.
So that means some people could end up being the priority because other people feel safe around. They're wrong to feel that way.
Do you think Donald Trump would have a soft spot for the Irish?
I don't think he's going to have a soft spot. As far as I know, I don't think he's going to have a soft spot for anyone or a vindictive spot for anyone. I just don't see that in the man.
Do you think it's a blunt instrument? Do you think the legislation is just going to be a blunt instrument and that's it?
I think he wants to deport at least as many people as the prior two administrations. I mean, right now, the record for deportations was the Obama administration. And I would be very surprised if this president could deport as many people as Obama, because when Obama was deporting people, no one protested.
How many people did Obama deport?
It was in the millions. I don't have an exact number, but it was in the millions. But the point is, it was relatively easy for Obama to effectuate those policies because his own party was on board. They weren't going to object to their own president. And Republicans basically agreed with the policy. But with Trump, it's just the opposite. The media is going to be against him, and the Democratic Party will oppose his policies. So I very much doubt that this president, even if he gives it his 100%, could deport as many people as former President Obama did.
Just from a logistical point of view, it would be difficult to actually do, is the point you're making, apart from anything else.
It would be logistically and legally because the courts will get in the way.
I think his target seems to be, because he talked about the Venezuelan cartels, et cetera, and he wanted to redefine them as terrorists, which is probably not such a bad idea, by the way. I wouldn't disagree with him wholly on that. So that seems to be his priority, is to get rid of what he calls the criminals, or the people from the asylums, as he refers to on a regular basis. Yeah, so those who were involved in crime. I think that seems to be his main priority. But
that's a double-edged sword, because if you're gathering them up for committing crimes other than immigration crimes, then you're probably going to have to try them, and that means keeping them in the country for the length of the trial and maybe for part of a criminal penalty. So in fact, it might undermine getting his numbers high in terms of deportation if he focuses on people who do violent crime other than the immigration crime, if there is one itself. So deporting people out of the United States ain't so easy unless all the arms of government are cooperating with one another. And I don't know that Trump will enjoy that cooperation. I certainly hope he gets some, but I really have my doubts. It's a very divided country.
I tell you, just before you go, I tell you what, I would love to have a longer conversation with you on the podcast as well, if you're interested in coming on at some time point. I spoke to you actually in the past on the radio as well.
We have. You've got a great memory. As a matter of fact, we actually met at the vote count once. At the RDS.
That's right. I do remember. Seth, just before you go, a couple of times I've asked this week and on the radio a couple of times this week and also on the podcast as well, are you optimistic for the next 4 years or pessimistic?
I'll put it this way. When Trump won, I was not in mourning. How's that?
Okay. That's good.
Okay.
Seth, I'll give you a call and we'll sort something out and we'll get you on for a longer period of time. I'd love to have a longer chat with you. All right. Thank you very much.
Wonderful.
All right. There you go. Professor Seth Tillman, who's from the Maynooth University. Let me go to Angela. Angela, hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Angela, you heard what Seth said. It's probably impossible. I wasn't aware, actually, that Obama deported so many people, but he seemingly did. Logistically, it's probably impossible for Donald Trump to deport as many, if not the same amount. But either way, the Irish are at risk. So, you know, do you care?
No, because I think a lot of the Irish are a pack of hypocrites, like. Because we're saying, we want all illegal immigrants in here, illegal refugees, all of that. We want them out of the country. Yet they'll turn around and slam Donald Trump for wanting the same.
Well, this is the thing. The hypocrisy of RTE last night, and you heard the clip I played earlier on when Sarah McInerney had a go at a Republican saying, you know, about the birthright rule of citizenship and why was Donald Trump getting rid of it? And he said to her, well, you don't have it in Ireland. So why are you giving out about us wanting that? You know, I mean, we got rid of that 20 years ago.
That's it. It's like, because I've had these disagreements with people who are Trump haters. And I will say Trump haters because they are.
It's called Trump derangement syndrome.
Oh, God, yeah.
They've actually given it a name. I believe on Amazon, you can actually buy a spray, right? And it's seemingly a cure for Trump derangement syndrome.
Like, I mean, the thing is, one of my cousins who I go over to in South Carolina, that's who I go to, they're massive Trump followers. And I'm telling you, he's one of the most intelligent men that you would ever speak to in regards to Trump. Now, as he says, he's not exactly the nicest man on the planet, but by God, he gets a job done. And they're not voting him in because he's a nice guy. That's not why they're doing it. They're voting him in because he makes some money. And he's looking after, like, I had this argument with someone because they were like, oh, he wants Google back. He wants Facebook. Don't we always tell everyone to shop local? Don't we tell everyone that we want our jobs kept here? Is that not what Trump is doing? Is that why you hate him? Because he wants everything back in his own country?
I heard an Irish politician last week giving out about Trump because Trump had been on CNN or somewhere, I don't know where he was, and he had said that he was giving out about 20% of cars come from Canada. And he said he was going to bang a 100% tariff on the cars coming in from Canada. He said, we don't need their cars. So he said, we have our own cars in Detroit, right? And I said, fair enough. And this politician, Irish politician, was giving out about it. And I'm listening to this on the radio and I'm going, you absolute moron. He was giving out about the fact that Trump wanted to put tariffs on cars. In this country, in Ireland, we put massive tariffs on cars and we don't even build them in this country. So we have no choice but to buy them from other countries, right? So we put VRT on it, VAT. Between VRT and VAT, you're practically paying 50% tax on the car. So
on the car and everything else that comes into this country.
Mm-hmm. We have massive tariffs. So VAT is a tariff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he wants everything back in his own country. Don't we say that? Don't we say we want, you know?
Well, that's why we put tariffs. We put excise duty, import duties on goods to encourage Irish companies to produce more goods and go homegrown. So we do do that as well. Yeah, of course we do.
That's why I'm saying that everyone who will go, now listen, other people have other reasons.
Mm.
But if you were going against Trump because, like, going back 8 years ago, he wanted to build a wall. Who cares? He wants to build a wall to stop illegal immigrants going into his country. If we could, and don't we turn around and go, nearly do that now at the border with the North so that they can come in here.
Oh, what would you build a wall across the border? There'd be murder. You couldn't do that.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? It's total hypocrisy.
Okay, so in other words, the I don't know how many Irish there are there, undocumented, which is a fancy word for illegal. Do you believe they should be all kicked out?
No, the only thing that I would say...
Ah, here we go. See, now you're going to be the hypocrite like the rest of them today.
No. I'm not going to be the hypocrite because my whole thing is, if you are in a country, right, and you are being supported by a government and by taxpayers, get out of the country. So if you are Irish illegal immigrant over there, but you have been for the past 20 years self-sufficient and... supporting yourself and your family, I've no problem with that.
But you're still illegally in a country.
Yeah, but then that you have to go through the right channels and let you do it from America.
It's not the way it works. Not the way it works. The way it works is if you're caught and you're there 20 years, they take you, put you on a plane, send you home and say, you go home now and you can apply to the official channels through the US Embassy in Ireland. Now, you will automatically get a ban for 3 years because you were illegally in the country in the first place.
Yeah, well, come here. The way I look at it is, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So if you're over there illegally and you're Irish, as Putin would say, tufsky shitsky, you're coming home.
Tufsky shitsky. Janet, stay there, Angela. Janet, hi, how are you?
Hi.
Tufsky shitsky. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead, Janet.
Full disclosure. Obviously, I'm American, but I also have an Irish citizenship.
Okay.
I married an Irish man in 2002, a Kerry man.
Okay.
And my daughter was over here going to school with me at the time. And when she went to college, I got a little bit of empty nest syndrome, and I wanted to go back over.
Okay.
And so we went through the process legally. Okay,
yep.
I got my husband. I got him a visa or whatever.
Yep.
With going into a green card at some stage, right?
Yeah.
It was €3,000 to do it. Had to jump through all kinds of hoops to do it.
Yep.
His friends were telling him, go over there and work away, and no one will notice you, or you can apply through there.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I'm not going to put my husband in that position.
Yeah, you don't want to be looking over your shoulder all the time. Yeah.
To be illegal. So I have no sympathy for the Irish who went over there illegally. None whatsoever.
Mm. Yeah, no, you're right. And you did it the right way. Because if I was going to America, and I have a plan to maybe at some point do that, I would do it the legitimate way. There's no way I would go over there looking over my shoulder all the time.
If you put yourself in that position, you know you're going over here illegally. Put yourself, or even, you know,
your family.
You get what you deserve.
Mm. Well, you've broken the law. That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
I agree.
That's either do it legally or don't do it.
Mm. So you've no sympathy then for anybody who's deported to the Trump administration?
No. But I'll tell you this. I do believe Trump will go for the low-hanging fruit first.
Yeah, okay. Well, it won't be Trump, but it'll be obviously the Department of Immigration,
they'll go for the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
They will, and like the criminals. And no, they don't have to take the criminals to court because they're there illegally. They've already broken the law. They'll just ship them off. They don't have
there.
That professor, whoever he was, that I don't.
Seth Tillman. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
You don't agree with him, no.
I don't believe it's true. I think they've committed a crime by being illegally. He'll ship them out.
Yeah, I think he was referring to the other crimes they committed as, you know, as parts of
whatever
a cartel. Yeah.
Yeah, even if they suspect they're in crimes. Well, if they've already been arrested for a crime, they probably will have to go through the process.
Yeah.
But if they just suspect them of being Bush, you know, shady people, they'll ship them out. They'll do the low-hanging fruit first.
And one thing about the Irish immigrants that went over there, they didn't go over there and get free this and free that.
No.
Exactly.
Like the immigrants.
No, I know the Irish are hard workers. They go to America to work. They don't go to America to sponge off the social welfare system.
They didn't go over there they didn't go over there to be parasites and feed off the system. And I think, you know, that eventually they may get around to that. But I'd say if they're there illegally, they took the risk. And that's just it. That's the gamble.
And where are you now, John?
You got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them, you know?
that's an old song by Kenny Loggins, isn't it? Know when to hold them. Janet, are you in Kerry now?
Rogers.
We farm in Kerry.
Oh, okay. And would you prefer Kerry or do you prefer America? What part of America are you originally from?
I haven't been back to America in ages. When I see my family, usually they're coming over here.
Okay, what part of America are you from?
The Midwest, Kansas.
Oh, sounds lovely. So, do you prefer Kerry or Kansas?
I prefer Kerry, even with the crappy weather.
I don't know. I don't even know whether I would last in Kerry. I'd freeze to death. Listen, Janet, thank you very much indeed. Angela, thank you. Listen, we go to Jonathan very quickly because I have to wrap this up. Jonathan, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon, how are you? Ready for it?
Yeah, I'm ready
for it. Young man.
There's a place you can go.
I said, young man, put yourself on the ground. Look. I think if you're over there illegally, no sympathy for you. Like I said, I've been having this argument for years about this. I've no sympathy. You went over there, you broke their laws, and you set up in their country illegally. I'm sorry, but I've no sympathy for you.
Yeah, I always had that same argument for years before Donald Trump even came along, going back to 20 years ago. When these campaigners were going, oh, we want an amnesty for the Irish. And I go, well, then there should be an amnesty for everybody, because why are the Irish any different?
Now listen to, like that lady said before, Noel, look, what I believe coming from the Tom Holland and all that, 1.6 million have deportation orders already. They're going to be forced. Then they're going into the prison systems to get rid of all the ones over there. If they raid a house where they're looking for one and they find seven, they'll deport them all. So like that lady said, it's low-hanging fruit they're going to go after. Now, I don't think Trump's going to deport massive ordinary people out of America, because like the lady said, they went, they worked, they built and things. But it wouldn't be, if they do get talked out, I'd have no sympathy for them.
Mm.
But I just don't think he will. You know, but I think, like, again, I was talking about 4 years under Trump. I think that the Republicans are going to be charged over there for a long time to come. I think J.D. Vance after Trump looks good for the next 8 years after him and going forward, you know. So all these people...
No, I think you are right. I think Donald Trump is going to be very careful to set this up, because he knows, he can't run again. So he's going to set this up for the next person to follow in his footsteps. Absolutely.
That's what he's going to do, and that's going to be J.D. Vance, and he thinks a lot along the lines of Donald Trump. Because, again, I think what Trump is saying out is fair across the board.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, no, I completely agree with most of the stuff he said so far.
And all these people going on, like, you look at the amount of Democrats that, even though they have been told for 4 years, this man was Hitler. He was a threat to their democracy. And they probably believed that. They still vote for him anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, a lot of them did.
But look at the media. Look at the way the media are reacting at the moment, particularly the likes of, say, RTE, Sky News, CNN.
Yeah,
RTE are actually in there with the rest of them.
Oh. But they're dying on their feet, and this is why. They're dying on their feet. This is why. Nobody's tuning into the money. All you see of RTE...
Yeah, but whatever about Sky News, but whatever about Sky News and CNN, they're private companies. They can do what they want, right? I don't care.
Yeah.
Okay? But RTE is funded by taxpayers in this country and is meant to be an impartial broadcaster.
It's not funded by taxpayers. Well, it is, but not because we want them to, you know. 700, yeah. What was it again? No,
750 million. 750
million. There you go. You know, but
I mean, I don't want my tax money paying Sarah McInerney's wages after that performance last night.
None of them.
Do you know what I mean?
None of them.
Because it's so negative. It's just so negative. They come from the default, we hate Trump position. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And okay, if somebody wants to come out and say something nice about him, that's grand. But they come from the default, Trump is the bad man.
But here's the thing, though. They can never tell you why.
Because it's an Irish government, it's an Irish media narrative. News Talk are the same, they're all the same.
But it doesn't matter, no matter who you ask about this man, when they say they hate him and you ask them why, they give you all the talking points, but they can't prove any of it. You know, they're just like,
they're terrified as well. I mean, this idea that Trump turned around and said, you know, America's official position is there's only two genders, men and female, right? You know, RT won't even cover that story.
No, terrified.
Terrified
of a handful of people now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But do you remember what happened on the Joe Duffy show when they tried to cover it? When they tried to talk about transgenders on the Joe Duffy show?
Oh, yeah.
Sure, they were nearly called before the Oireachtas Committee and everything over it.
This is what I'm saying, Noel. You can't have it. The terrified. I got to keep saying to you, Noel, in this country, we don't have political leaders. We have talking heads, props as all these people are. Like I said, I would love it. Well, you should do it. You could be our Trump.
Oh, yeah.
You could.
But here's the problem. But the President of Ireland has no power. The President of Ireland has no power.
I'm sure there's ways around everything.
Well, there is ways, but you would have to change
the around you and you can bulldoze anything.
Yeah, but you have to change the Constitution. And
look at,
you'd have to change the Constitution.
A referendum. I change the referendum for you now.
Yeah, if we could get a referendum to change the Constitution to give the President more power, I would love to be the President of Ireland.
Yeah, I'd show back them. On the subject yourself, Noel. Oh, I know you would, Noel. Like I said, I don't know anybody in this country with 6 months and the right people around them couldn't turn this country into a fucking gem, you know, if they wanted to. And that's simple as that. But now, like I said, going forward with Trump, I think he's dead right. It's equal across the board. And like I said, the politicians in this country really need to be careful going forward now. Because like I said, I think this is going to roll on now for the next 12, maybe 16 years.
Yeah.
I think the Democrats are done in the States for the next 20 years at least anyway. There's
yeah, no,
back
no,
what they've done. And even Kamala, when she lost, now, the way she treated her supporters, didn't show up. 2 days later, some talking head came out to give a fucking account of what's happening with her, you know?
And then she produced this video where she looked like she was pissed.
There you go, the Indian woman, you know, the Indian African American. I mean,
whatever she is, whatever she claims she is lately.
But no, like I said, it's equal across the board. And if you're caught, and if you're Irish, and I've been, like I said, long before the debate ever happened mainstream, I've been saying, if you go into someone's country illegally, set up illegally, and you're looking over your shoulder for the rest of your days, don't be surprised when they come knocking at your door. And regards to their children and all this, children usually pay for the sins of their mothers and their fathers. You should have went in the legal route. You should have took your chance that way.
Jonathan, listen, unfortunately, after that, but thank you very much indeed, Jonathan. I appreciate you coming on. One or two messages, by the way, just on WhatsApp. I'll play these before I go.
Hello, Niall. Just a comment on today's question. I certainly think that any undocumented or illegal migrants in any country, let alone America, within the last 5 years should be deported immediately, without question. As for people who are resident in a country undocumented, as you say, for say 5 to 10 years, I think there should be a process of assessment for eligibility to stay, given that they are probably have set up businesses or work and are positively contributing economically. Obviously, if they're not contributing, they should be gone as well. But I would say if somebody resident for 5 to 10 years, yeah, they should be given some sort of process of assessment to see if they're eligible to stay. That's just a short observation.
Hi, Niall. Love the show. Firstly, I don't think countries should be run like businesses. Certain aspects of them, of course, you know, the decisiveness and the efficiency, they're all very desirable when running a country. But what about the caring professions? Imagine if they worked on a business model. Nurses, teachers, Gardaí, social workers. That would just be insane. Secondly, about the illegal immigrants, that kind of ties in with the business model because, you know, the notion that Trump is going to round up all the illegal immigrants and put them in planes and have them gone within a week. I know he didn't say that, but that's the impression it's given. You know, that's a really decisive business-like thing to do. But, I mean, that's not going to work. And also, I think he may be shooting himself in the foot because the kind of illegal immigrants who are contributing to society, I think he should try and find a way to allow them to stay, maybe buy their right to be there or earn it in some way. I don't know what, but I do think it's ludicrous to just suddenly get rid of them all. And I don't think the Irish should be treated any differently, but I do think, as one of your callers said, it create a huge problem here if they were all evicted en masse and arrived here in a country where there's already a housing shortage, infrastructure problems. That would just be absolutely crazy situation. Okay, Niall, take care.
It shouldn't be one rule for us and another for everyone else. It doesn't matter if you're Pedro from Mexico or you're Patrick from Galway. If you went over illegally, you can get out. It doesn't matter if you're self-sufficient or if you sponged. All that is irrelevant. You were illegal, you can get fucked off. You can get on the boat or the plane and get out. The amount of hypocrites on today, it's gas. We give out that people are doing the same over here, but they want the same treatment for us in America. No.
I do agree, Jessica. There was a good few hypocrites on today, by the way. But I do understand the sentiment. By the way, just to set him in, as I, you know, was on earlier on there, if anyone wants to read, he does have actually a paper written on the subject in relation to the Irish in America. And it's in the Irish Law Times. He sent me a copy of it here, a draft copy of it here, which unfortunately I don't have time to go through now, but it seems like a very interesting piece. But you can find it on the Irish Law Times. And I will hopefully get to talk to Seth. I remember I met him, actually, I do remember meeting him now in the RDS at the Count. And I also have spoken to him on the radio a couple of times too. Now, the Dáil have taken another week off after today. You couldn't make it up. They form a government, pick their leader today. They'll go before the president. And then they'll take a week off. You know, they're like school children. They're useless. Actually, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play that clip of RTÉ against Sarah McInerney last night. Somebody says, now, what's your issue with Sarah McInerney? My issue is I just didn't think she was very nice the way she treated me during the European elections. But she comes across as being real nice. Have a quick listen again where she was put in her place. Hang on.
Can I ask you about what Donald Trump's plan is when it comes to the birthright citizenship and his plan to remove that? Because the latest count this evening was that 18 states are going to challenge that legally. Do you think he can get it through?
Does Ireland have birthright citizenship?
No, we don't. Not at the moment, no.
Why should we have it?
Sorry, I'm not saying you should or shouldn't. My question is, do you think he can get it through?
It's being abused by illegal migrants. If Ireland doesn't have it, why are you bothering me about this?
And she says, we don't at the moment, is what she said. We don't and we won't, because it was actually voted for in a referendum, in a landslide referendum in this country. It used to be called the Anchor Baby Law. And of course, Michael McDougall got it changed. So to even say to him, respond to him, say, we don't at the moment, indicates that could be changed tomorrow or the next day. It can't be changed. It's part of the Constitution of Ireland. We would have to have a referendum and debates on it and everything. So Sarah, you really hadn't a clue what you're talking about. You picked the wrong person to say that to. Anyway, thank you to everybody who got involved in the show today. Please do subscribe or donate on our website, nileboylan.com. That's nileboylan.com. That is the website. If you can help us out in any way, we'd really appreciate it. In the meantime, we shall talk to you tomorrow at the same time. Have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.